of Dracula. Dracula, the terrifying lover who lusts for human blood. Dracula, the human vampire who rises each night from his coffin bed to seek the rendezvous that alone can keep him alive. Who will be the bride of Dracula tonight? Horror of Dracula. All new and in flaming Technicolor. Plus this second thrill hit. A thing that couldn't die. What is it, this head that lives without a body? A monstrous thing that enslaves every woman, destroys every man who stares into its eyes. See both on the same show, Horror of Dracula and The Thing That Couldn't Die.
Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete. And here's your host, Pete Chiarella, only on Jackalope Radio.
We are live. We are on. I am talking. Are we there?
We're here.
After 2 weeks, we're here. I apologize for the 2 weeks, because if anybody's been watching Facebook, I've been sick as a fuck. Still am. I actually had to go to a doctor. Then Todd went down to Florida to wrestle alligators last week, and then got back in time to schmooze with the people at Crypticon.
Yeah.
So we're back here. I may pause to hawk up a loogie at any given moment, but I know some people are listening right now. I see Rick Bubbs on, Psycho Smiley, Son of Froggy. Shout out to the big green guy, Son of Froggy. So, anyway, I've been up to no good as usual, but I had to sit back and I figured something out. It's been 10 years since basically the last bastions of Smut New York folded up in 2003. And 2003, around this time, the last remaining Peep show on 42nd Street, I think it was Peeporama or Peepland or something, closed up. And our beloved tour guide to everything sleazy and scummy in New York, Screw Magazine, folded up. A lot of reasons to that. You know, a lot of people don't like Al Goldstein, but he's always, in my encounters with him, he's always been nothing but good to me. And I think what happened was, talking to a few people who were involved, he sort of, you know, lost his mind on a few things. I think what he actually did to bring himself down was he threatened some ex-employee on an answering machine, which took it to court, and they actually made it stick. And it got to the point where, you know, at one point, Al had money to burn with all his phone sex lines and things like that. But what happened was, two of the quote, free newspapers in New York, the Village Voice, and I think it was New York Express or New York Press or something like that, which you just pick up in kiosks all over the city, started carrying the same ads that he was, you know, being paid to run in Screw. In other words, you had to buy Screw to see the ads. These ones you didn't have to buy. And, you know, Giuliani was always going after him, and he went after Giuliani saying, how can they run these ads when any kid can pick this thing up and call an 800 number where, you know, you got to be an adult to buy mine. Well, also, Al had forgot to pay rent on his self-storage. Guys were telling me he was doing weird shit like ordering, you know, 3,000 plastic frogs, things like that. So he had pretty much bugged out. And, you know, right now I know he's not doing well. He's in the VA. I think he had a stroke. He's got, you know, other problems. And I, as always, I wish him well. But, you know, some former employees had tried to resurrect Screw, and I tried to write for them, and I thought it was going to be a good mix until the owner, editor, or whatever the fuck he was. You know, one guy really liked my stuff. This guy was, like, overly critical and wanted it done a certain way, and at that time I was writing for three or four different people, and I, like, you know, why do you have to have it this way when the rest of these guys don't care? Well, the turning point came when they asked me to write a review of the... Remember the Paris Hilton DVD? That horrible thing?
Yeah,
the one that was shot with the green light, green night light or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, they wanted me to review it. And I submitted my review, and I got back, it's not mean-spirited enough. It's not what Screw wants. wrong thing to say to me, so I redid it. You know what I got? We can't print that. So it went rapidly downhill from there, and they owed me, I think, was like $700, and I got 70 of it, and they folded up. And me and a bunch of other people were trying to find out who actually owned the name, and there was some kind of bullshit that whoever owned the name wanted $110,000 for it, and I was told by other people in the know to stay away from it because nobody really knows who owns it. So it was never resurrected again. Actually, that was going to be the name of the magazine, which has already been, you know, already been out, is Grindhouse Purgatory. It was originally going to be 42nd Street Pete Says You're Screwed, but, you know, then again, we're skirting with that legal issue. So I said, fuck it. I went with the other one. Now, another thing that happened, too, was in 2003, New York City Liquidators folded up in November, and it was due to the passing of my good buddy Norman Brill, who is one of my best friends, and unfortunately, my last few words with him weren't too kind, but was a situation that where he was being ripped off and didn't realize it and brought back a guy who had been ripping him off, and I screamed and yelled at him for that, and at the time I was shooting Unconventional, and I turned my phone off and I got three phone messages, Pete call me from a woman who worked there, then the third message was Norman died. He was in bad health, he wasn't taking care of himself, he just wanted to be in that store, and it'd be 10 years, I believe, around the first week of November, he had passed away. And weirdly enough, the other night I had a really strange dream about him where we were still standing in front of Liquidators. And excuse me. And he said, wait here, I'm gonna come back and get you. And that sounds chillingly ominous, but I talked to a couple people about it, and he says, well, maybe he just stopped back to say hello, which is nice if that's the case. A lot of people, you know, didn't have good things to say about him, but, you know, you had to know Norman. It was like a game of mental hopscotch, first as buying from him and seeing who would screw who on any given week, and then working for him and then seeing how much he tried to screw me and how far I'd let him go before I slammed the lid down on him, too. So, sometimes it was fun, sometimes it was crazy. Got to drink water here. You know what else sucks? I can't even smoke pot because my throat, my sinuses are so fucked up, damn it. So that's been killing me too. But he always had this thing. He used to hire these fucking morons, I used to say. And I go, what? You know, why the hell do you have him around? And he goes, well, he'll do whatever I tell him. I said, yeah, and you tell people I'll do whatever you tell you to. And you know, the fuck, I never hardly ever do anything you tell me. I always do what I feel like doing. Yeah. So, I mean, we had a lot of fun, you know, going to the, you know, the East Coast video shows down Atlantic City and, you know, not making any money because he tried to cheap out. We looked like a fucking garage sale in the middle of a, you know, a huge, very prestigious mall. When you picture a garage sale going on in the middle of it, that's what our booth looked like, you know, taped together shelves, rusty fucking displays, all that shit. But, hey, it was fun. You know, I really miss him as a person and as a friend. He was like a brother to me. And, you know, when you know, we had a lot of experiences. And, you know, it's just a shame that, you know, he wasn't even 65. I think he was, you know, I'm going to be 61 in, God, holy fucking, a few weeks. So I think he was only around 61, 62 when he passed away. And the other guy, of course, Rambo, who was my pot connection, who had actually delivered in New Jersey, who actually gave a shit when I had cancer when he called me up and I told him I might not be able to smoke anymore. And he goes, well, that's not what I'm calling you for, bro. You know, we're friends. You know, buying weed off me is one thing. I'm concerned about your health and welfare. And then his health took a dive and he died right before Christmas. So, sadly, most of the guys I was with on 9/11 are no longer here. And I think, you know, that, you know, also added to his angst, too, about, you know, killing the business, because whenever there was, you know, one of those fucking elevator alerts, the phones would stop ringing. So, it sucks, yeah, but, you know, he was a good guy, and I'll tell you a story. He used to get shit, you know, questionable origin, you know, no receipts, whatever. One time, he got in 10 or, I don't know, it was 20 of the new digital camcorders that at that time went for about $1,300 and change. And I think whatever the deal was, he told me he wanted $550. So I'm like, okay, let me call a buddy of mine. So I call this guy. Unfortunately, I got Dave the douche, who worked for him. I told him the deal. He goes, the price ain't fucking good, this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, well, pass it on. So, all right. A few hours go by. Of course, these things are gone. But the guy came back with better ones that went for $1,800 a piece. So Norm wanted $650 for them. So this guy calls me back up and he goes, well, what happened? I said, well, they're gone. I said, Dave the Deuce said there was, the price wasn't good. He goes, he doesn't fucking know nothing. He goes, what do you want for these? So I said, put my hand over the phone. I go, what's my end of this? And Norm looks at me. He goes, roll your own. I said, what do you mean? He goes, roll your own. I want $650. So I called. I said, okay, $750 a piece. There's 20 of them. He goes, good, I'll take them. Bring them with you. And I'm like, dude, I'm taking a fucking bus. How am I going to get on a bus with 20 fucking camcorders? So he goes, hold on. So he puts this other guy on, this Asian guy named Jason. He goes, Pete, you know who this is? I go, yeah, Jason, how you doing? He goes, what if I send a car to pick you up? I said, fine. I go, you got to get over here in a half hour, though, because they're going to shut the place up. Oh, no problem. This white stretch limo pulls up. Guy pops his trunk. I load up with the camcorders. He's got, and everybody in the store is like looking at me like, who the fuck do you know? Well, they drive me to somewhere in Brooklyn, some, you know, Chinatown place, and guy looks at him, takes him, pays me the fucking money, so I'm walking around with all this money, but I made myself $2,000 just dropping him off. So that's how things worked with Norm. You could get away with shit like that. So, but it was always fun. It was always an adventure. It was always, you know, always something going on, you know, and it was never a dull moment working at Liquidators. And I miss him, and I miss the place, and it's sort of like a legendary place now. Matter of fact, Ed Grant had emailed me about it, because he used to stop in there. He said, you know, this guy had pictures of this comedian, Eddie Brill, up all over the wall. And I said, yeah, that was his son. Yeah, he was you know, stand-up comedian. Actually, he used to live with Dennis Leary for a while. They were roommates. Of course, he never, you know, became as famous as Dennis. And I wish I had met Dennis, but I never did. So, a lot of people used to come in here. Chris Rock. Mel Brooks even came in there one time to buy a Gung Ho DVD. So, you never know who would pop in. One time when they were running the martial arts stuff at Madison Square Garden, a bunch of guys, you know, came in there real early in the morning. And one of the guys from working in the front goes, these guys are on one of the boxes in the martial arts stuff. So I said, no, really? So I looked up. I go, yeah. So I walked over. I started talking to them, and they were like leery of me at first, but I had gotten into, you know, the Chow Yun Fat, the shoot 'em ups, and, you know, the John Woo things, and the Jackie Chan and all that other stuff. So I pretty much, you know, could hold a conversation with these guys. They told me some great shit, you know, about, you know, Jackie and Sammo Hung and Yuen Biao and all them guys. So, yeah. Somebody just sent me an email. Are we broadcasting, or we fucked up?
We should be broadcasting. No problem.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I keep getting this blurb here. Oh.
It says we're on.
Son of Froggy says he's, I don't know, is he having problems too?
He might be.
Who, me or him?
He might be having some problems, because it looks like we're okay here.
Yeah, he said he's tuned in. Oh, fuck. I don't know. Well, it's Skype. It's internet radio. What can we do if you know, should be coming across? Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on to current events, and my fucking dog keeps walking in and out of here. No, I'm not going to play with you. I'm on the air. Leave. Be good. The second issue of Grindhouse Purgatory is ready, and we added some new writers. I'll give you a rundown of the whole thing. A lot of it, we have Labels by Corey Older. He contributed last time, and he's Ted Michaels' writing partner. And we have My Memories of One of My Favorite Grindhouses in New Jersey, the last time I was in there before it closed up, the Embassy Theater. And, of course, our resident psycho bitch, Annie Reardon, wrote The Evil Dead and Other Lousy Remakes. And, of course, Josh Hadley from... Lost in the Static and whatever other 90 shows he has, wrote Star Wars Indeed. And I wrote something about Full Moon Fever, about Charles Band ripping the fans off. And somebody else put in this James O'Rectum Scream Queen interview of this wacky little bastard. And CineWasteland.com, Ken, contributed to my Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer article, his memories of the Mad Dog, before everybody thinks hardcore is a whole brand new thing. Well, Buzz Sawyer was nuts before any of these guys, before the Sandman, New Jack, any of these guys. I think Buzz was legitimately nuts and died of a coke overdose quite a few years ago. And all the writers sort of chipped in for their memories of The Hills Have Eyes 35 years later. And I did another piece on one of the best horror writers you've never heard of, William W. Johnstone. And we have something from superfan Rob Steinbrugge. And Bill Adcock wrote a little piece about toxic horrors, Octoman and Spawn of the Slithers. You know, Octoman has to be one of the gayest monsters I've ever saw, because he has his mouth open in like a perpetual blowjob mode with fangs. He never closes his mouth. And Spawn of the Slithers, that actually cost me $600 to see, because my truck got robbed while I was in the movie theater and they cleaned it out. And let's see, what else we got? Doug Waltz had written Midwest Grindhouse, Nothing But the Blood. I wrote something called Forgotten Bloody Horrors, the Blood Island Trilogy, the gimmick-laden films. Another piece I wrote was Enter the Dragon, Exit Bruce Lee, my top 20 spaghetti westerns, and a little piece on the massage parlors of New York called Hamburgers and Hand Jobs and Hamburgers. So that will be out. It's going to debut at Horror Realm. My buddy Mike Watts putting it together, and hopefully it'll be ready by then. And I'm going to have a companion piece to go with this. I put together what I call the Grindhouse Purgatory Trailers. It's over 40 trailers. I stole them. Big fucking deal. Everybody else does. But, you know, I got stuff like The Flesh Eaters, Horror of Party Beach, Rio Conchos, Beast of Blood, Big Dollhouse, some X-rated ones, The Defiance, A Man Called Sledge, Nightmare City, The Losers, Insatiable, Once Upon a Time in the West, Make Them Die Slowly, Death Wish 2, The Wild Bunch, The Candy Snatchers, The Wrath of God, Saturday Night Special, Cotton Comes to Harlem, Zombie, Sweet Sugar, MS Magnificent, Death Rides a Horse, Mutation, Death Hunt, Hell's Angels 69, Eaten Alive, Sabata, Women in Love, Fear City, Psycho Circus, Black Mama, White Mama, Reason to Live, Reason to Die, and a few other ones. So I'm going to have that out pretty soon, too, as soon as I edit it all together and throw my ugly face on the beginning and the end, so, you know, you people have something to bitch about. So, been up to that, and also, you know, it's been also 10 years since Unconventional was released, and I'm still trying to get over the ass-fucking I got on that. But being that VHS is really hot now, I had 30 copies digitally enhanced put on VHS. They're going to be numbered 1 to 30, strictly 30 copies. I may sell them online, I may just sell them at shows, but they're going to run $30 a piece, and I don't know, if I sell them online, I might have a little special, because I got a couple of the original posters used to promote the film, which I might throw in for the first 10 ones, so keep looking at Facebook, I may do that, and we'll see what happens. Also, being that VHS is making this ridiculous comeback that I just, for the life of me, can't fucking fathom, but then who might argue with success or anything like that, I'm going to put out, in clamshells, big boxes, three very weird, rare porn films. Teenage Hustler, Fade to Red, which is a really sick, twisted B&D S&M extravaganza, and Sex Rink, about roller skating, fucking on roller skates. So they may be ready by the time Horror Realm and Liquidators rolls around. I'm in the middle of doing all this shit with very primitive fucking equipment and shit like that, and it's hard to get clamshells and blank tapes and everything else, so I'm working on it. So Froggy doesn't seem to get it. I'm going to put it up here. I'm going to put I'm on.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a relay with part of the country. Remember, if there's a relay server down, some people can't hear it and some people can. And there's been some weird stuff going on lately.
Yeah, I know. The whole weather thing screwed up. Now I'm getting an echo with you now, too.
Rolling blackouts. Weird stuff, yeah. Dude.
Yeah, it's fucked up. My echo still there? No, it went away. No, it's still there.
I can't hear it.
I can. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, tell him it'll be up in the archives by tomorrow night.
Yeah. Okay, I'll print this up. If you can't hear, if you, dog barks, if you can't hear, I'm spelling shit wrong too. I can't multitask. The archives will be up tomorrow. I'm asking you.
Yes.
Yeah, what is this, interactive fucking radio? I don't know what the hell's going on here. Yeah, what's the internet? What can you expect? It's fucking crazy. There's some other shit going on too. There is you've seen this thing, Machete Maidens Unleashed.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
It is probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. It focuses on the Philippine film explosion from the early 60s to the mid 80s. Tons of film clips. They interview Eddie Romero. Unfortunately, everybody they interviewed is dead now, director-wise. Eddie Romero was still alive when they did this, and so was Ciro Santiago. Oh, Son of Froggy says there's still music playing there.
Yeah, it must be a backup, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I can't help that.
No, we can't help the backup situation.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to that, I mean, they got a ton of people in there. Celeste Jarnell, Sid Haig, Chris Mitchum, Paul Coslow, Ciro Santiago was still alive when they did it. I think he's since passed away. And who's the other guy? Bobby something? Bobby Suarez? He did a bunch of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so many extras packed onto this, and there's so much information and how, and it goes back to what, remember Sid Haig told us about how he owned a cove in the Philippines when Marcos got in? He didn't own a cove anymore. Yeah, they talk about that whole thing and how it didn't affect American shooting in the Philippines. They basically got away with whatever they wanted, and all the directors wanted to work for them because if they did something considered slightly subversive, they'd be taken out and fucking shot.
It's crazy.
So, you know, it's really, really worth a look. I think the same guys did the Australian one. That's it. What the hell was the Australian one? It's Not Hollywood or something? Not Quite Hollywood, yeah, right. Yeah, that was it. I think it's the same guys. I think they're doing something on Canon Films next or something.
It's cool, yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah. It's really worth picking up. I mean, like, and there's a ton of trailers on there from the Blood Island films, and they, you know, Sam Sherman was on there, and they, you know, Roger Corman, they were talking about how, you know, they were working with Eddie up until a certain point, like, you know, everything changed. Like, you know, he did Brides of Blood. Or, of course, he was a protege of Jerry De Leon, who was one of the, you know, forerunners of the Filipino film industry. And I think they had co-directed Brides of Blood and had something to do with Mad Doctor of Blood Island. Then Eddie did Beast of Blood, Beast of the Yellow Knight, all the John Ashley stuff, because they became partners of production company. And then, of course, they had hip Corman into this stuff, you know, where, you know, it was cheap to film over there. So, you know, Roger's middle name is Cheap. So he was sending all these people over there. And, you know, a lot of the people, Marlene Clark, trying to think who else was there. Margaret Markoff, they were all relating their experiences, you know, and how fucking crazy it was to work over there. And, you know, how Chris Mitchum said his director carried a loaded 45 with him all the time. So pretty wild west, but it was like, you know, if you weren't getting any work in the States, it was sort of like, you know, the thing that got, like, guys going to Italy for the spaghetti westerns because they could find work over there.
Right.
So really, really, really cool. You know, really, really a cool documentary. I'm like, I kept, you know, hearing about it, but, you know, life takes over. You get jammed up with other stuff and you don't remember. And then I'm like, you know, I got to order this damn thing. And it's well worth it. I don't know. It's $19.95 or something like that. Good money. You know, money well spent for that type of thing. So, yeah, it was all good. And another thing I wanted to address is there's been a lot of crap going back and forth on Facebook about Night of the Living Dead and the Saving the Chapel stuff, and, you know, people are bitching that it's a ripoff, that, you know, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Some people are pro, some people are con. People are really getting into some vicious arguments about this. And, you know, maybe the dead should shut the fuck up for a while, because I'm really tired of hearing about how nobody got paid and the thing went into public domain and this and that and the other thing. Well, it's nobody's fault but their own that they didn't copyright Night of the Living Dead, okay? I'm sorry. You know, if that stings a bit, too fucking bad. But I've heard this from porn guys, too, where, you know, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't be doing that because we didn't copyright the shit. And the reason we didn't copyright it was because it's illegal. Well, at a certain point, it became legal. So you could have copyrighted it, but you chose not to do it because you people are cheap. Porn people are cheap. Come on, we know how it works. So, you know, not that that's the same excuse, but, I'm really tired. I mean, you know, my other show when we had, 42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse, you know, we've had, you know, these people on shilling for, the Save the Chapel and stuff like that. But you don't hear from these people after that. I mean, I ran an auction at Cinema Wasteland. I made them money. You don't hear for nothing. I mean, I honestly think that everybody who donated or helped them out should have, like, a brick stuck in there with their fucking name on it. But this seems to be like, you know, I don't want to bitch and badmouth anybody, but I don't know. I just got a funny feeling it's not all that what it seems to be, and it ain't going to cost somebody that knows construction went out there and looked at it and said that thing didn't cost no 50 grand. So I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of fans are fighting each other about that, and it's like, granted, we all love the movie. It's a groundbreaker. It was probably one of the first original American horror films, strictly American. You know, created creatures that were American, the zombies, you know, flesh-eating zombies, which unfortunately are still around today in every way, shape, or form, at malls all over the fucking place. So, you know, we should just like the film and fuck the bullshit that goes on in the back, because sometimes you're dealing with a bunch of bitter, disgruntled people. And, you know, as far as that goes, you know, I tried to help, and you know, if you people didn't appreciate what I did, fine. I don't really fucking care, because you're not going to get nothing out of me again. And I just really wish that, you know, people would stop going back and forth on Facebook, pointing out, you don't know what you're talking about, this and that. Nobody knows what we're talking about. The bottom line is there's a lot of animosity behind the scenes with a lot of these people that were original cast members. And I think after, you know, 40 years of doing conventions and shit like that, I think you people have been taken care of. The fans took care of you. So stop making this fan against fan, whatever the hell it is. You know, try to enjoy the damn movie for what it is, a groundbreaker. There's no point in fans arguing about this and arguing about what goes on behind the scenes. So it just pisses me off when I see guys that I considered friends getting in pissing contests over fucking nothing. That's all it is, nothing. It's a fucking movie. You know, you want to save a landmark, you know, with the movie, fine. You've obviously got enough money to do it. But what's going to be next? Oh, we found the cabin that the Evil Dead was shot in, and it's falling down, and we want $100,000 to rebuild that. Yeah, sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was in the works, too. So, you know, we go on with this stuff. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, conventions again. It seems that Robert Englund's making the swing, and at one show, it's $50 for a signature and $50 for a photo op. I mean, it just gets worse and fucking worse all the time. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, as somebody who has been involved in the conventions for, you know, as many years as I have, it just sickens me to see it come to this. And it even sickens me to see, you know, some of these people like, I'm going to flip on, here's something here. On a top tier of the new Horror Hound Weekend or whatever. This is your headliners, James Duval, Sean Clark, a guest rep and whatever, the two babysitter twins. You know, I don't understand this shit. It's a nothing thing. It doesn't seem like the guest list is too fucking good. But then the other thing is, they had Monster Mania last week, and Christopher Lloyd was charging $60. $60 for a signature. That was it. No photo op, $60. Here's a post now. Robert is 50 now, 100 if you want both an autograph and a photo. That's a Nashville Comic Con. Comic Cons are, you know, walking into horror cons. It's fucking crazy. Now, the other thing they're coming up with is they some brilliant guy thinks they should charge for panels. Somebody just commented on something. Okay, they just said, let me see if I can find that post about the Robert Englund thing. Fucking weird here.
That's crazy about Robert Englund, man.
Well, let me see. He'll be at least 40 per autograph and another 40 for a photo op. Jeez. I mean, this is fucking ridiculous. I mean, really. You know, don't you fucking people save your money, or are you just going to leech off the fucking fans for the rest of your lives? It's fucking retarded. These are some of the posts from last week. The winner of the ass raping is Christopher Lloyd, $60 a piece, no pick or personalization. Unbelievable. Jesus. They said the cast of Being Human upped their autograph price in the middle of the show. Unreal. I mean, it's a fucking sad. And you know why this is perpetuated and why the fans put up with it, I have no idea. But I don't know. I put something fucking down here. It wasn't very complimentary, but I don't know. Nothing I ever write on this shit's complimentary, because it's all fucking bullshit. 32 fucking comments. Yeah. Let me see something. Somebody else just put something. I don't know whether this internet's going fucking crazy or what. Yeah, he says he's gonna see you on the archives because his son's coming over. It's like, this is fucked up. I don't know why this is happening.
Well, you'll never know, man. We try to do the best we can.
Yeah, fucking internet. I'm trying to see where this fucking post was I put up. Where did it? Oh, I just... You click on something and it fucking disappears. And you know I go off on this shit because I'm completely fucking disgusted with it. A couple people said they're not even going to bother with this shit. I said, if Wasteland and Horror Realm fold, I'm done. People that are that fucking needy, they need themselves to be taken by celebs. Somebody else just put music is still playing too, and this is local. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. If people allow themselves to be taken by celebs who we made famous in the first place, go for it. I honestly hold you in contempt, and the sad fact that you keep going back for more disgusts me. These greedy motherfuckers make more in a weekend than most of us make all year. Their signatures are worthless, and try to resell them if that's your game. What started out as fun has been turned to shit by greedy guests, promoters, guest reps, and so-called fans that are too stupid to realize they're being taken. This genre has been ass-raped to the point where it's HIV positive, will never go back to being fun. That's from me. That's the way I feel. So... You know, they're taking all the fucking fun out of it, and, you know, again, I'll go with Cinema Wasteland, over 60 hours worth of programming for the price of admission. There is no extras. Just the sad fact that these fuckers are actually thinking of charging for panels, that's a fucking joke. It really is. What's next? I come up with something else. Pay toilets will be next. Come up with a new concept. Pooping with the stars. And for $50, they'll give you a dirty Sanchez when they're done. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, hotels that charge for parking, even if you're a guest at the hotel, I went through that fucking crap with Saturday Nightmares. It's fucking ridiculous. It really is. And I just don't know why this whole thing's perpetuated. It's fucking sad.
It is.
But... I don't know. You know, as long as there's a couple good ones left that stay true to the fans, you know, what the hell?
True.
You know, you got to keep it going. And that's where it's at. I mean, you know, people pull together and they want to see a good show. They know where to go. They want to get ass raped and, you know, be treated like shit. Oh, and another thing, I talked to our buddy Gary Kent earlier in the week, and he's in remission, which is great news. He's clean. And he called me and he goes, I'm suffering from angst. And I go, why? He goes, well, you know the Alamo Draft House and that chain?
Yeah.
You know, they're doing something in Austin. And it's sort of like a stuntman's reunion.
Oh, cool.
Where they're going to have Gary down there, Bud Cardos, Chuck Bale, Bob Ivy, a few other guys. And they're actually, not that these guys are going to do it, but they're actually going to rig stunts in the parking lot. They're going to have, you know, car crashes and whatever. He's all excited. He goes, as much as I'm aggravated about a lot of shit that's going on, he goes, I'm real excited to do it. And I'll probably get him on, you know, either before or after, so he can tell us all about it and shit like that. So that'll be cool. But you know, other than that, we got Horror Realm coming up. I'll be down there. I'm gonna screen two films, Killer Force, a star-studded tour de force with Telly Savalas, Peter Fonda, Christopher Lee, O.J. Simpson, and a few other people. And Isle of Dr. Moreau, the one with Burt Lancaster.
Gotcha.
Not the one with Val Kilmer and, you know, that overbloated Marlon Brando one.
Right.
But, yeah. Matter of fact, there was something on that after that film, after working with Val Kilmer, that Brando says he wanted to quit acting after that.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people like Kilmer. You know, I'm hot and cold with Kilmer. I've seen him do some great stuff, and I've seen him sleepwalk his way through a bunch of shit.
It's true.
You know what's a good film of his, and you've probably never seen it? Felon.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I kind of gave up on him after a while because I was so angry with, you know, his attitude and the way he was treating people. I just didn't want to support his films.
Yeah, well, it's funny. He had that little run-in with Sake at a Chiller Theater years ago, and Sake is going to be at Wasteland, and we're going to do a little Q&A, too, and I think I'm going to bring that up because she basically put him in his place that he couldn't have a picture taken with her. You know, it would ruin his image, you know?
Oh, Lord.
And the only reason she wanted the picture taken with it was because he played John Holmes and she worked with John Holmes. So here's a guy who played a guy with a big dick acting like a big dick.
There you go.
So, sad, very sad. I saw another, you know, another DVD I want to bring to people's attention. The wrestler New Jack, I don't know if you know him, you know, one of the original gangsters. He branched out on his own. I think he's most famous for almost killing somebody up in Massachusetts, some, you know, green kid that came in and thought he knew his shit and agreed to be cut and almost got his head taken off, which in turn almost killed ECW's pay-per-views because anti-ECW people jumped on that, were sending the tape to a lot of, you know, potential pay-per-view outlets.
Right.
But New Jack's always entertaining. Always entertaining, and he scares the shit out of me. I would not fuck with the man. He did a shoot interview for RF Video with another friend of mine, Feinstein, and New Jack 2012, and he exposes a lot of shit about certain people I'm not going to mention on the air because he didn't mention their name. They bleeped that a couple times. So I'll stay away from that. But it's funny. I was at a wrestling convention. I came in late. I was bullshitting with some people in a front, and they knew me. They go, "Oh, don't pay to get in. Just go in." So I walk in. New Jack standing on one side of the room, and there's this some guy trying. I don't know why people do this, you know, especially with a guy like New Jack who's, you know, a bit crazy. He goes, "I know Ron Simmons," and New Jack goes, "You know Ron Simmons? That's supposed to impress you, you howdy doody looking motherfucker." He goes, "How many other niggers you know besides Ron Simmons?" And I'm standing next to Spike Dudley, and Spike's cracking up, and New Jack's just going off on this guy, and this guy crawled out of there. So I walked up to New Jack's manager, who I know, and I said, "Hey, Eric, I want to get a picture taken with him, but I don't want to pay." And he goes, "Yeah, no problem." So we go, "You know, Jack, this is Pete. Yeah, how you doing?" So we posed for he signed a picture for me and everything. It was cool. So, but still, wouldn't want to fuck with him. He's the real deal. You know, crazy motherfucker, but, you know, he's done shit in the wrestling business, whether you love it or hate it, you know, with the bloodletting and shit like that, that, you know, nobody's been able to top. Never. There we go. Blow my nose on the air. Getting stuffed up. But, yeah. I think he's... he actually lost vision in the business. There was something with him doing a scaffold match with Vic Grimes, and he fell off and he landed wrong and split his head open. I think, man. He lost... pretty much lost most of the vision in one eye.
It's terrible.
And, yeah. But I think he had his last match, if I'm not mistaken, in New Jersey against Necro Butcher. So, I think he's pretty much out of the game. You know, he'll do conventions and stuff like that, but I don't think he's going to be working anymore. You know, once guys work that style, it's kind of hard, you know, on the body. You don't last that long.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, he started out in Smoky Mountain, then hit ECW, then hit the Indies. He told the story that, you know, McMahon wanted him, but basically told him, "Once we get you, we own the name. If you quit or get fired, we own your name." And he goes, "No, you don't own my name. I'm not taking it with you." I think the Honky Tonk Man said that, too.
Wow.
I know Abdullah went in for some reason. He never worked in WWE. Never worked at all. I know one of his things was the only building he never wrestled in was the Garden. And he wanted to do that, and it never happened. But from what I hear, Abby's pretty much down and out. I think both of his hips went, and he needed money, and they inducted him in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if they bought the rights to his name or not, but funny story came out that he tried to set up a gimmick table in the hotel and they kicked him out. So, yeah, he was a character too. He beat me up once. I got in some kind of little fucking, you know, not for real, but, you know, when you don't know these guys, they scare the fuck out of you, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. We did an angle with one of the guys he used to work with in Puerto Rico. And basically, you know, he beat the fuck out of us. I just dropped to the ground. Don't kill me. Don't kill me.
That's so funny.
And he laughs. He used to laugh. Whenever I ran into him at a show or a convention or something, oh, you learned anything yet? And I go, yeah, I'm never going to fucking do this again. That's all. Then I hook up with, you know, WSU and Primetime Amy. I'm going to try to get her back on. I haven't talked to her in a while. I don't think she's doing anything besides working a regular job.
Huh.
But it's always interesting. I got to shoot her an email and see what she's up to. Maybe we'll get her back on, too.
That'd be good.
Yeah, because I know, like I said, I want to get Gary on, too. So, this thread's going on. Oh, I just looked it up. It's $50 for a photo op with Robert Englund.
Outrageous.
$50. Does he stick his claw up your ass, too? I mean, man.
Golly.
It just gets fucking worse and worse. It really does. I'm sorry. Maybe it's my mentality, but, you know, back when I first started doing this, and it was like 1990, when, you know, you'd find somebody and they were just so happy to be rediscovered, they never charged for an autograph. Then it was like maybe $5 or $10. Then it went to $20. Then it went to $30. Now $40 seems to be the norm. I'll never pay anybody $40 for a signature, nor will I ever charge anybody for a signature. Not at all. I know it's not popular here to defend HH, but I really enjoy the show. I don't see why having Sean Clark listing on the guest list is a big deal. He has a lot of special feature work. Who gives a fuck? He's not a star. God. I love these fucking people who, you know, oh, I do this, I do that. Do I get a table? Jesus Christ. I mean, what is it? Every fucking radio guys, do I have a table? No, I don't go to fucking shows. I do Wasteland and shit. I pay for my fucking table. I do Horror Realm. I pay for my table. I don't want a handout. I don't need a handout. Yeah, I'm a radio guy. I'm also a writer. I'm also a fucking on DVD commentator, too. I don't need a fucking table. I don't have a fucking ego. Ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. This guy defends him. Jesus Christ. Unfucking real. He's one of, you know, if you guys want to look who started all this photo op crap and the fucking high prices, look no further. HH and him, that's all. That's where it started. I mean, Monster Mania, as far as I know, was the guy who, you know, originally offered Robert Englund a 35K guarantee and then had a near riot at the first time he was there because Robert decided to leave. And they pre-sold autograph vouchers. They had no control.
Oh, no.
And they kept using him and using him. But he was 35K back then. I wonder what he's getting now. Unbelievable. Like I said, I don't get it. You know, it just, you know, as much as I love the genre, I'm starting just, you know, not to like a lot of the fucking people that, you know, have this attitude like, well, I don't know why it's a big deal having somebody on a fucking guest list, you know? And I just don't understand, you know, maybe it's me. I don't understand why these people even have a fan base. And, you know, a lot of these people that have fan bases are fucking troublemakers. We already went through that with that other Jim O'Rear guy who, you know, had to have an army to back him up on Facebook, had to get people fucking suspended and barred for saying anything bad about him. The guy's a fucking pathological liar. He was not in Day of the Dead. He wasn't. He fucking made up his own fucking IMD database thing. The guy's a moron. Another little fucking weasel. But, you know, these are the people that ruin the business. People say, well, you're down on the business too, and you hurt it too. Where do I hurt the business? I try to tell the truth about this shit. And I get a lot of shit for it. But you know something? Fuck these guys. Really. I've been there from the fucking get-go.
True.
And, you know, if you really feel that, you know, you need to pay $40 for somebody's signature on a fucking 2-cent fucking 8x10 black and white photo, knock yourself the fuck out. That's your money. You know, when you ain't got enough money to put gas in the car or pay your bills, just look at that fucking photo on your mantelpiece and say, you know, that $40 would have bought me a week's worth of groceries or something. But again, you know, you're enabling these people. You know, like I said, they make more in a fucking weekend than most of the people on Facebook or probably listen to me make in a year. So where's the justification in that?
True.
You know, it's not our fucking fault. You didn't invest your money or you didn't, you know, do whatever you did. You know, you got a guy like Sid Haig who genuinely loves his fans and doesn't ass rape them. You know? I mean, you just saw him out in Crypticon, right?
Yeah. I had a great time.
He's still, what, $10 you write him?
Oh, man. The thing with him is, you know, he'll do pictures for you all day long for nothing. He has a limit of like six, I think. I think it's like $5 or $10 to sign your thing. And he'll sign something for 20.
Yeah, that's it.
Of his own.
Yeah. He's a humble guy, and he appreciates the people who support him. These other guys, well, I can squeeze another 10. I can squeeze another 20. It's fucking retarded. But like I said, you know, the fans go for it. I just don't get it. That's not my mentality. You can bitch slap me if I ever fucking charge somebody for a signature. I had one guy. I told you, one, it got so bad, some guy walked up to me with two of my DVDs, and he goes, what do you want to sign this? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, how much you want to sign this? I go, you bought them, didn't you? He goes, yeah, I didn't buy them from you. I go, nevertheless, you bought them. Here. That's all. No problem. Be it as it may, I'm not going to be able to change the world, obviously. I'm just going to speak my mind, and if people don't like it, hey, fuck you. I don't care. You know, it ain't like anybody's fucking paying my bills, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, but if something happened where I had something hot, you know, they'd be the first in fuck. It's like Dave Friedman says, an old story before, I will run out of time. Dave had a problem getting paid by somebody one time, so he ran into this guy who had this printed up Volkswagen that said, I collect debts. So I forget the guy's name, but he had the guy basically park out in front of the guy's office and, you know, hound him till he paid the debt. And, of course, it came down, well, I'll never deal with you again, this and that. You suck. You know, you're horrible. You're dead in this town. Then Blood Feast came out, and it was, oh, where you been? So same mentality. You know, people can shit all over me because I ain't been doing nothing. You know, I don't do nothing horror-related. Well, you know, people don't know what I do. You don't know what irons I got in the fire. There's a lot going on. I'm just sitting back and waiting because I let other people see some stuff, you know, that has been going on. And, yeah, you know, things may happen. But, you know, I'm not gonna tip my hand. Exactly. You know, another guy just emailed me. He can't hear me. I wonder if any of this shit's... Yeah. I'm on now. Just about... to end. Fuck. You know, it's like shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But yeah. But, you know, there may be a lot happening down the road. Maybe nothing will happen. I know I'm going to have at least four more DVDs coming out, you know, probably next year. That I'm just waiting for, you know, the check disc so I can, you know, write the liner notes. And then Henrik... you know, the guy who did the Babysitter Massacre, he lives locally a couple hours away. He's going to come up and shoot the wraparound, so we're going to, you know, go back to that.
Right.
So, you know, there's a bunch of shit happening, but I'm not going to blow my fucking horn. I'm barely fucking surviving. But I'm not going to go out and fucking rip somebody off to fucking pay my bills. You know, so, case in point, truck broke down again today. Everything's going fucking wrong for me. I've been fucking sick for 3 weeks. Truck got weird on me. What else is going to happen? So... I just take it as it comes. You know, who knows? I got something going on. It's in the hands of somebody. He seems to think it would work. My book's being edited. They seem to think, you know, that could be, you know, something. Second issue of the magazine's coming out. You know, like I said, you know, it'll be out by Horror Realm. And, you know, people seem to like it. Not that it's, you know, selling off the hook, but, you know, whatever. The way I look at it is I'm giving people an opportunity to write. I'm not going to say, well, I'm just giving you exposure. If I make a couple bucks, they make a couple bucks. At least they get a copy of the magazine, a DVD, or something to fuck with, you know, for their trouble.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to be a prick like the rest of these guys. Well, we're giving you exposure. I've been hearing that for the last 20 years, and that's why I'm sitting here doing this thing with no pants on. I got all the exposure I need. So, you know, what the fuck? So it looks like we're just about out of time, I think, right?
Yes, sir.
Until next week, stay sick, and who knows what's going to happen by then. Talk to you then.
Good night.
Short and sweet with 42nd Street Pete. Only on Jackalope Radio.